بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتينا داود منا فضلا، يا جبال أوبي معه والطير، وألنا له الحديد، أن اعمل سابغات وقدر في السرد، واعملوا صالحا، إني بما تعملون بصير. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: تزوجوا النساء يأتينكم بالأموال، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is no secret that the dominant aspiration in the life of every young person is to ultimately find a suitable spouse and to secure a healthy income. That's no secret. The dilemma, however, is which one first? Do I get married, then make money, or make money and then get married? First option is get married and then make my money. Second option is I study, graduate, do my internship. Hopefully I attract a better woman. But then the chances are, and let's face reality, I will pursue. Can I resist the temptation of a woman for such a lengthy period in such an immoral society? If I opt for option number two, that is to go and run the course, study, graduate, do my internship, do my practicals, get my degrees, establish my practice, can I resist the temptation for such a long period of time? I'm afraid more than often the chances are, without generalizing, I will pursue an illicit relation during my stay at campus or at a tertiary institution, which will inevitably lend itself into a host of evils. Number one, when I pursue that illicit relation, Allah forbid, myself and my fiance both will be permanently miserable and depressed. Simply because Allah's qasam, anyone and everyone in sin is depressed. So if I pursue this illicit relation, which has an apparent temptation, I will be miserable. The second issue, to sustain the relation, I will have to fork out money from time to time. So whether it's Timmy's or Second Cup or Starbucks, but come weekend we need to go out and chill. The third thing is, in the interim, I as a male will not propose elsewhere, because my mind is supposedly set on a woman. My fiancé will decline other good proposals because supposedly she's getting married to me. And at some time or the other, more than often, either of the prospective spouses will abruptly terminate the relation without any valid excuse, leaving the other one depressed, isolated, if not suicidal. Now I'm left alone. There were other proposals on the side of a girl. I declined. This man dropped me in a lurch. And I sit, really don't know what is the way forward. The hadith that I quoted before you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the solution in the most profound way. Because many a youth find themselves at these crossroads. Do I go ahead? The journey to pursue the degree is rather a long journey. At the same time, there is an urge and a need from within me that I need to settle down. Then there is the complex issue of finance. They say before marriage, a man yearns for the woman he loves. After marriage, the why becomes silent. He only earns. Before marriage, a man yearns for the woman he loves. After marriage, the wife becomes silent. So many of our youth are in yearning zone. The hadith that I quoted, the Prophet ﷺ gives us the answer. It's recorded in Bazaar. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha narrates it. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Tazawwaju nisa." He provides you with the answer. You are of marriageable age. What's the priority? He says, get married. Get married. A. Okay, half the issue is resolved. The second half, and that is to secure the finance. Where does that come from? The Prophet ﷺ said, يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ بِالْأَمْوَالِ. You get married to her, don't worry about the money, she'll bring it and come. Now you might think, I didn't get that part correctly. And maybe this is my added bit to the commentary. Does she bring the money and come? What are you talking about, Sheikh? This guy's credit card got stolen. So he tracked the thief down and he, you know, reprimanded him. And he said, you know, you've been abusing my credit card and you stole it and you've been swiping it. But anyway, don't do that in future. So his friend says, you reprimand the man, but you leave your credit card with him? He says, yeah, he spends less than my wife. يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ بِالْأَمْوَالِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, she'll bring the money. Now, there were certain sisters that had posed the question to me in the afternoon Q&A session, and I didn't have the time to explore on those questions, but it definitely has a link to our topic today. And in particular, a sister had sent a question that my husband insists that I work. My sister, if you are here, and hopefully you are here, here follows your answer, and if your husband is here, then please listen attentively. The Prophet ﷺ said, get married. I gave you the way the hadith is mentioned in Bazaar. Get married, she will bring the money and come. Now it's not upon me to elaborate on this hadith. The commentators of the hadith, Jazahumullahu anna khair al-jaza, they have delved and explored and unpacked this hadith in detail. They say, and I quote the commentary of the scholars of hadith, هَذَا إِذَا كَانَ الزَّوْجَانِ فَهِيمَيْنِ وَنَاصِحَيْنِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا فَيَسْعَ الزَّوْجُ فِي زِيَادَةِ الْكَسْبِ وَتَشْتَغِلُ الزَّوْجَةُ فِي انْتِظَامِ الْبَيْتِ مِمَّا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ الزَّوْجُ فَيَلْزَمُ الْإِطْمِنَانُ وَالرَّاحَةُ فَهَذَا مَقْصُودُ الْمَالِ فَهَذَا مَعْنَى الْإِتْيَانِ بِالْمَالِ. The scholars of hadith explain and expound on this aspect of the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, get married, don't delay, she'll bring the money. They say this would happen in an ideal situation, and money is defined in the following way. إِذَا كَانَ الزَّوْجَانِ فَهِيمَيْنِ وَنَاصِحَيْنِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. When both the husband and wife are intelligent, matured, and they have the priorities of one another at heart. They are the well wishes to one another. فَيَسْعَ الزَّوْجُ فِي زِيَادَةِ الْكَسْبِ. So the husband exerts himself to maximize the income. وَتَشْتَغِلُ الزَّوْجَةُ فِي انْتِظَامِ الْبَيْتِ مِمَّا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ الزَّوْجُ. And the wife diligently executes the domestic chores which a man cannot do. So this wife was busy frying her egg in the kitchen, and the husband comes in, make it sunny but runny. Okay, add a bit of oil. All right, I'll add the oil. Throw a bit of salt. Back off, man, I know how to fry my eggs. So she says, he says, yeah, I just want you to know how it feels when I'm driving. I just want you to know how it feels when I'm driving, go slow and indicate and press brakes and move to this lane. At least you got a tip of it now. Anyway, the husband exerts himself to maximize the income. وَتَشْتَغِلُ الزَّوْجَةُ فِي انْتِظَامِ الْبَيْتِ مِمَّا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ الزَّوْجُ. And the wife diligently executes the domestic chores. And then what happens? فَيَلْزَمُ الْإِطْمِنَانُ وَالرَّاحَةُ. This combined agenda, where the husband exerts himself and the wife carries out the domestic chores, translates into wealth, happiness, joy, bliss, and prosperity. This combination brings about the ideal situation. فَهَذَا مَقْصُودُ الْمَالِ فَهَذَا مَعْنَى الْإِتِيَانِ بِالْمَالِ. Because that's the fundamental object of money. So my sister, you're not going to go out to work to bring in that added dollars. You are providing that which money cannot provide. Now what happens? There is yet a third scenario. There is yet a third scenario. And that's the so-called intelligent thinker. He says, we'll get married quickly and we both will work. So why must I get married and then make money, or make money and then get married? Let's get married quickly and we both make money. But then you're not realizing, my brother, when you return from work tired and exhausted, and you need to be received with a warm smile at home, the chances are your wife will be more tired and exhausted than you are. And if you want her to meet you with a platter of food, she might need you to pamper her in bed with a coffee. And this is the inception of altercations and verbal skirmishes in the relation. So she makes the money, but when you come home, you're not coming to a home, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, where you're coming home to a woman who receives you. And in all humanness, she's tired and exhausted. She's perhaps more challenged in the outside environment. She has to perform double to prove herself. So she needs you to pamper her, and she's not going to be able to pamper you. And this is where the issues go haywire. So the teachings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is quite clear that nikah is of priority. And this is what we define as wealth. We don't define the added dollars and pounds and euros as wealth. But if my wife can be indoors and provide this homely environment for me, then that is wealth for me. Now, to elucidate the theory, to elaborate on the theory, I thought we look into the lives of one of the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from there we see how they practically, you know, discharged this obligation and how they practically translated this into their lives. And this time none other than Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu wa arda. The reason why I selected his life, because on either of the two fronts, if you analyze his life, I mean, today we talk of the 10 wealthiest people in the world, or the 100 wealthiest people in the world. In the times of the Arab, there wasn't this gradings. But if you have to apply those gradings, then without fear of contradiction, I can tell you Abdurrahman ibn Auf sits on the 10 wealthiest people of Arabia. So if you look at him from the eye of business, material perspective, how he excelled, economically speaking, he's the man. And if you want to speak about him as far as having spouses, then he had multiple spouses, he had four wives. So on both fronts, which is the aspiration in an average young man, to have a beautiful woman and to have an established bank balance, the person you're ideally looking to navigate your way is Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu. Just to give you a glimpse of his merits as far as Islam is concerned, Ahadul Asharatil Mubashareen Bil Jannah, amongst those 10 people who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. He was the 8th person to accept Islam. Ahadul Sittati Ashabi Shura, Yawma Ikhtiyari Al Khalifati Ba'd Al Faruq radiyallahu anhu, when Umar radiyallahu anhu had sustained the injury and he was stabbed by the dagger and it proved to be fatal and he claimed his life, and he appointed a group of 6 people. He appointed a group of 6 people that the Khalifa, the person that will succeed me, will be from amongst these 6. Amongst those 6 people that he had appointed, nominated, was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu. وأحد النفر الذين كانوا يفتون في المدينة ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حي قائم بين ظهران المسلمين. He enjoys the privilege of issuing Islamic verdicts during the very golden era of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان اسمه في الجاهلية عبد عمرو. His pre-Islamic name was عبد عمرو. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ دَعَاهُ الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ. And when he embraced the faith, the Prophet ﷺ said, you are Abdul Rahman. أَسْلَمَ قَبْلَ أَن يَدْخُلَ الرَّسُولُ الْكَرِيمُ دَارَ الْأَرْقَمِ. Accepted Islam in the very initial stages. وَلَقِيَ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيَهُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. فَصَبَرَ وَصَبَرُوا وَثَبَتَ وَثَبَتُوا وَصَدَقَ وَصَدَقُوا. And hence, accepting Islam in the initial stages, the price was rather great, was daunting, was challenging. So he was subjected to the hostility that the initial Muslims were subjected to, and he was compelled to forsake his native land and take amnesty in Abyssinia, and he joined the group and the delegation that migrated to Abyssinia. He returned to Abyssinia, and not long thereafter was the migration to Medina Munawwara. So he joined the ranks of those that migrated to Medina. When he got to Medina, and that brings you to the point that I want to speak about. As a young man, as a pauper, he has absolutely nothing. And obviously he is not married. In fact, one hadith of Prophet ﷺ said that you are a pauper if you are single, even if you are a multimillionaire. And the same is said to a woman, that if she has all the wealth of this world, but if she's single, then really that's poverty. وَلَمَّا أَخَذَ الرَّسُولُ يُؤَاخِي بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ أَخَى بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ سَعْدِ بْنِ الرَّبِيعِ. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, amongst the first things that he established was a network of brotherhood. Now this is such a network that is unprecedented in human history. So he paid Sahaba. He would take A and pay him with B. He would take a muhajir and pay him with an ansar. You know, the Arabic proverb goes very beautifully, رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكْ. رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكْ. There are many people in life who benefit you more than your own brother. It's just that your mother hasn't given birth to him, otherwise he is like a brother to you. There are many people in life, they benefit you like a brother. It's just that your mother didn't give birth to him. رُبَّ أَخٍ لَمْ تَلِدْهُ أُمُّكْ. And when you see the bond established by the Prophet ﷺ between the Muhajir and the Ansar, then it was a true manifestation. So just to run you through a few Sahaba. The Prophet ﷺ paid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with Kharija bin Zuhair. He paid Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah with Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He paid Abd Rahman ibn Auf with Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu. He paid Umar ibn Khattab with Utban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He paid Uthman ibn Affan with Aws ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. He paid Talha ibn Ubaidullah with Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He paid Salman Farsi with Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He paid Bilal ibn Abi Rabah with Abu Ruwayha radiallahu anhuma. This was the divine selection and the divine pairing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was paired with his brother Sa'd ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu. And this is how his tale unfolds in the city of Medina. He went through Abyssinia, returned to Makkah, migrates to Medina, comes in here penniless as a pauper, not even married. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, you are paired with Sa'd ibn Rabi'. On the other hand, look at Sa'd radiallahu anhu. He calls his brother Abdul Rahman. He said, أي أخي أنا أكثر أهل المدينة مالا وعندي بستانان ولي امرأتان فانظر أي بستاني أحب لك وأي امرأتي أرضى عندك حتى أطلقها لك. Listen, O Abdul Rahman, the Prophet of Allah has paid you to me, and that's an absolute privilege for me. I am viewed as one of the wealthiest people of Medina. If you want, I can start you off and set you up. I have two flourishing orchards. I'm ready to give one on your name, and you can run it and take it from there. I have two spouses. I'm more than comfortable to divorce one. She will go through the period of iddat, and then you can wed her. Now, the message that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf conveyed to his brother, while we salute Sa'd ibn Rabi, look at how clean his heart was, how generous indeed he was. But then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was no less. He didn't come as a liability. He said, Barakallahu laka fi ahlika wa malik, walakin dullani ala as-suq. Barakallahu laka fi ahlika wa malik, walakin dullani ala as-suq. My brother, I appreciate what you have offered me. You've offered me your orchard. You've offered me your business. But Allah has given me hands and legs. I am able. I don't want to depend on you. You want to show me the marketplace? I will make my humble beginning and I'll climb the ladder gradually. We're asking the youth to stand up with responsibility. The ayah kareema that I recited before you, Allah speaks about the skill that He divinely inspired on Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. أَنِ اعْمَلْ سَابِغَاتٍ وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ وَاعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. In Surah Saba, in the 22nd juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we inspired Sayyidina Dawood with the art of making armor. But then look at the beauty of the Quran. أَنِعْمَلْ, we said make, سَابِغَاتٍ, broad armor. وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. The word Qaddir has been explored on two fronts. In Ruhul Ma'ani, there is a different explanation given. In Ibn Kathir, there is a different explanation given. Both in essence, in harmony. In Ibn Kathir, it is mentioned, the translation is Qaddir, to measure. Fisard, when you weave the links of the armor. Abdullah ibn Abbas says it means weave the links of the armor with precision. Let it be done accurately. And in Ma'riful Quran, it is written that Allah inspired Sayyidina Dawood that when you are working and you are making the armor, then let it be done with precision. Do a good job. In other words, in Islam, get in and work actively, constructively, and contribute. So let it not be a slapdash. The scholars say Allah told Sayyidina Nuh, wasna'i al-fulka. And Allah did not say, waj'ali al-fulka. There is a difference from the Arabic grammar. You make in the ark, O Nuh, do a thorough job. We're asking the youth to stand up with responsibility. Be organized in your matters. Be focused in your goals. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَتَاتِ الْأَمْرِ وَوَسَاوِسِ الصَّدْرِ. The Prophet of Allah said, O Allah, protect me from the influences and the injections of the devil and from being disorganized in my matters. قَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ, weave it, the links of the armor, in moderation, in proportion, in precision. The second explanation in Ruhul Ma'ani, وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ, appoint time. So take out a time and work, and take out a time and worship Allah. In other words, have a timetable for yourself. It is mentioned in the tafsir that when Sayyidatina Maryam alayhi salam was in labor pain, and obviously she feared the allegations that people would accuse her that she had committed adultery and hence she conceived and she gave birth. Labor itself is challenging, and then the fear of the allegations of people, and that continues. So anyway, while she was, labor pain drove her to the palm of a tree. فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَىٰ جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. We know any woman, today a woman, you know, they talk of postnatal depression, antenatal depression, before she gives birth, she's depressed. After that, she goes through a depression. There's so many medical connotations to afterbirth and the challenges. We can imagine Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam fearing the allegations and the rest of it. So Allah comforts her. Allah comforts her. And who was the doctor on call, if I may use that phrase? It was Jibreel alayhi salam. It's wrong to use that, not in the connotations of a doctor, but the person that was comforting her, it was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. And what was told to her? That do not fear. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا. Allah has caused a spring of water to gush. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Now look at the scholars of tafsir. Allah reward them. They don't leave any portion of the Quran but that they exploit. Allah said, there is a spring of water, drink from there. and the branch above you, Miriam, shake it gently, and it will drop with fresh dates. The scholars say, the fact that this tree produced dates off season was a miracle. She was in labor. Water was provided. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, O Maryam, I'm going to provide you with the miracle of dates, which is wholesome for you in labor pain and childbirth, but you'll have to shake the branch. You will have to shake the branch. I'm going to make it happen. That's a miracle that I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to see to you, nurse you, sustain you. Allah could have, by His divine command, caused the dates to fall. But the Quran is categoric. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ And there's another point, while just touching on this here, just to add on and speak about this as well. Allah first spoke about providing the water. Then Allah spoke about the food, the dates. But when it came time to eat, Allah reversed the sequence. Allah said, فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا Allah said, eat and then drink. And then the scholars of Tafsir have written this also. It's human nature that when you sit down to eat, you want your drink first, although you eat before that. So you don't want to start with your sandwich or your burger till you cannot see your Pepsi. I'm not advertising, but till you don't see your drink before you, you don't want to start with that sandwich. Human nature. So Allah said, here's the water, there's the dates, eat first, drink, and with regards to the allegations, I'll sort it out. The point that I am deducing from here is, shake the branch, I will provide. How many parents aren't there we hear who say that I have what I have, but I need some leadership qualities from my youngster, then I can hand over the reins. But at this stage, there is no leadership, there's no responsibility in him. He hasn't given me adequate reason to entrust him with the reins. I mean, what good is the money I have achieved if I cannot pass it on to my generation? So, the first lesson we learn from Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, we admire Sa'd ibn Rabi who offered everything. But Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, Barakallahu laka fi ahlik, walakin dullani ala suq. Show me the marketplace. Fadallahu alay. He said, my brother, there's the marketplace. He said, that's good enough. Faja'ala yashtari, wa yabi'u, wa yarbahu, wa yaddakhiru. So he went there, he started his first sale. Honest, transparent, fearing Allah, humble beginning, made his first sale, did his first purchase. But it mentions so beautifully, جَعَلَ يَشْتَرِي وَيَبِيعُ وَيَرْبَحُ وَيَدَّخِرُ He started making little money, bought the first item, sold it, second item, sold it, and he started saving money. And as soon as he could save sufficient money for the dowry to get married, he got ready to get married. وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ حَتَّى جَتَمَعَ لَدَيْهِ مَهْرُ إِمْرَأَ This is the teachings of Islam. We delay on the grounds of unrelated facts. And we wait until I have saved enough money to buy for myself and herself and the extended family. And in the interim, zina is just happening openly. When nikah was simple, zina was difficult. Today we've made nikah difficult, zina has become easy. So when he got little money, tazawwaja, he got married. He didn't delay. As soon as he secured money that he had enough for dowry, he got married. He has not even informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave alone, request the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lead the nikah ceremony. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not even informed. And the nikah is done and there's no offense, there's no objection, no ill feelings. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tazawwaja wa ja'a ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah realized. So he said, Mahyam, Mahyam. Wahiya kalimatun yamaniyatun tufidu ta'ajjub. So the Prophet of Allah looked at Abdurrahman ibn Auf and he said, wow, man, you look married. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا أَعْطَيْتَ زَوْجَتَكَ مِنَ الْمَهْرِ Now I just want to bring your attention to an important point. You know, one of the Q&As that came today also was, we need to separate tradition from religion. It has become a norm in our society, I don't know how prevalent here, but I can identify with it back home, is that there is a passion that a particular scholar has to perform the nikah. So Muhammad and Ibrahim are happy with one another. The date is fixed. The issues are resolved. All the logistics are in place. But we're waiting for the arrival of a particular sheikh. Pending his arrival, we will notify you of the nikah. As if my lust has logic. You know, I say, when a person is gripped in three situations, then he loses his sanity. One is lust. One is jealousy. Person loses himself, is consumed by those situations. So what I'm saying is, understand here, he doesn't delay to wait for the availability of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He performs the nikah. And also, we tend to delay funerals for so-and-so to lead the funeral. Now, a very common book of Hanafi fiqh, we all read it, Nurul Idah. On page 130, it is mentioned, and I'll give you the absolute quote of it. As-sultanu ahakku bi salatihi, thumma naibuhu, thumma al-qadhi, thumma imamul hayyi. وَمَنْ لَهُ وِلَايَةُ التَّقَدُّمِ أَحَقُّ مِمَّنْ أَوْصَى لَهُ الْمَيِّتُ بِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ عَلَى الْمُفْتَى بِهِ. Then when there is a body that is presented, there is a corpse, a janazah that is brought, in an ideal situation, the Muslim leader, then his deputy, then the Muslim judge. And in the absence of that, or even in the presence, fourth in merit, is the local imam of the masjid that deserves the priority to lead. This is documented in the books of fiqh. But it goes on to say, وَمَنْ لَهُ وِلَايَةُ التَّقَدُّمْ أَحَقُّ مِمَّنْ أَوْصَى لَهُ الْمَيِّتُ بِالصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ. If, for example, the dying person made mention of a request, that I wish so-and-so must lead my prayer, this sheikh, this ustad, whatever it is, which contradicts the sequence that the sharia has put down, then in priority, it would be better to respect that sequence and ignore the respect or request of the dead person. That would be the correct thing. If we respected it, it's no harm, it's no sin, we can do it. But the ideal thing, the correct thing, the more merited way to do it would be the person in sequence, and that's your local imam of the masjid. The point that I'm trying to drive with both these examples, whether it's nikah or death, we need to perform the act, lead the prayer, perform the nikah, and delay it for other people. This is not founded, it's not established. Abdurrahman ibn Auf gets married. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to know later about it. Ma a'tayta zawjataka min al-mahri. Okay, Abdurrahman, what have you given your wife dowry? Wazna nawatim min dhahab. I've given her gold to the equivalent of a date pit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, okay, that's great. Awlim walaw bishat. Awlim walaw bishat. You know, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu used to say, innakum ubtulitum bifitnati dharra fasabartum. Wa inni akhafu alaykum min fitnati sarra. Ala wa hiya an-nisa idha tahallayna bil-dhahab wa labisna rita ash-sham wa 'asba al-yaman fa at'abna al-ghani wa kallafna al-faqir ma la yutiq. He used to address the congregation of Sahaba and say, you in the initial stages, you were subjected to adversity. You lived up to the challenge and you diligently discharged the obligation. But I'm afraid of the test of prosperity. And in saying so, I refer to women who insist on the fine garments of Yemen, on the jewelry of Sham, on the shoes of another country. فَأَتْعَبْنَا الْغَنِي, they will tire the wealthy. وَكَلَّفْنَا الْفَقِيرِ, and burden the poor, which is beyond his financial ability. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوْلِمْ وَلَوْ بِشَاتْ. You do a walima, even if you can slaughter one sheep, that's great. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, I arranged for a walima, slaughtered a sheep, called the people, had a simple feast, and I started my life. Now, I did the things in this procedure. I started working myself, got my little money, got married, we had absolutely nothing, we started off with absolutely nothing, but we started off, the Prophet ﷺ said, do the walima, I did it, and both of us understood the manner in which we commenced with our financial standing, but subhanallah, things started materializing for me swiftly in my life. So, he says, فَأَقْبَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ حَتَّى رَأَيْتُنِي لَوْ رَفَعْتُ حَجَرًا لَتَوَقَّعْتُ أَنْ أَجِدَ تَحْتَهُ ذَهَبًا أَوْ فِضَّةً. Things started opening up so quickly and swiftly and profitably in my life that honestly speaking, if I picked up a brick also, I was optimistic that I'll find gold beneath it. I picked up sand also, and somehow Allah turned that deal and I made money out of it. Sand would become gold. That is how Allah blessed my hand and blessed my transactions. Now we are the direct reverse. We pick up gold, it becomes sand. What I'm saying is that we've become devoid of barakah. That is a reality. If there's one single ingredient the Muslim on a global level is searching for, it is barakah. مَا فِي قَلِيلٍ إِلَّا كَثَّرَتْهُ وَمَا فِي كَثِيرٍ إِلَّا نَفَعَتْهُ. That if it descends into something minimal, it makes it maximum. And if it descends into something maximum, it makes it beneficial. He says, now we just started our life, then came the campaign of Badr. But this was the beauty of Sahaba. They didn't become oblivious of their obligations. And every youngster becomes oblivious of the Fajr Salah that follows the night of his union. Here came the campaign of Badr. He said, I participated. Then came the campaign of Uhud. I participated. وَخَرَجَ مِنَ الْمَعْرِكَةِ وَبِهِ بِضْعَةُ وَعِشْرُونَ جَرْحًا بَعْضُهَا عَمِيقٌ تَدْخُلُ فِيهِ يَدُ الرَّجُلِ. And I came out of Uhud, which was relatively in the beginning of my life. I had sustained more than 20 wounds, some of which were so deep that you could literally put a person's hand inside that wound. If you look at history at this point, when it records the life of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, they say the salient feature of Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu was the money he made and how he used his wealth in good causes. This was the amazing thing. Not to discredit his other performances and contributions. He got married and he started doing what he had to do. And he followed the timetable of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then money started coming. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing amongst his sahaba and he said, تَصَدَّقُوا فَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَبْعَثَ بَعْثًا. Listen, O my companions, make your contributions and make your donations. I need to dispatch a particular campaign. فَبَادَرَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنَ عَوْفِ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ وَعَادَ مُسْرِعًا. He went straight home and then he returned shortly. And he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَرْبَعَةُ آلَافِ دِرْهَمٍ ألفان منها أقرضتهما ربي وألفان منهما تركتهما لعيالي. O Prophet of Allah, at this stage of my marriage, I own nothing more than 4,000 dirhams. That's all that I own. 2 out of that 4,000 I have given to Allah, and here it is. And the other 2,000 I have left behind at home for my wife, my children, and our domestic needs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بارك الله لك فيما أعطيت وبارك الله لك فيما أمسكت. May Allah bless your contribution and may Allah equally bless the 2,000 that you left at home. Now my brother, that's what I need. I don't need 20,000 at home and I don't need $200,000. I need 2,000 only, coupled with the blessings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of having 200,000 with the curse of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Barakallahu laka fima a'tayta. May Allah bless you in what you have done. In the initial stages, climbing the ladder of life, we all know, I need to buy this, I need to do this. You know, this husband came home, he had his 13 check, he got his bonus. He tells his wife, I got my bonus. And before she knew, the fridge packed up. So his whole 13 check went, sorted out the fridge. The next day he got his bonus, he called her quietly. He said, I got my bonus. So she said, why are you whispering? He said, I don't want the freezer to hear. My point is, if it doesn't go in the causes of good, it has to get somewhere. That money has legs and it walks. It gets his way out. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, this is my opportunity. He comes and he gives it. وَلَمَّا غَزَ الرَّسُولُ فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكِ. Then came Tabuk. وَهِيَ آخِرُ غَزْوَةٍ غَزَاهَا فِي حَيَاتِهِ. The last campaign in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كَانَتِ الْحَاجَةُ إِلَى الْمَالِ لَا تَقِلُّ عَنِ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَى الرِّجَالِ. There was a desperate need for physical participation and financial contribution. فَجَيْشُ الرُّومِ وَأَفِرُ الْعَدَدِ كَثِيرُ الْعُدَدِ. Because they were armed to their teeth. And the Prophet ﷺ exhorted the Sahaba, make your donations, make your contributions. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf came, تَصَدَّقَ بِمِئَتَيْ أُقِيَّةً مِّن ذَهَبٍ. He came and gave 200 ounces of gold. So Umar ibn Khattab even made a remark and he said, مَا أَرَى Abdurrahman ibn Auf إِلَّا مُرْتَكِبًا إِثْمًا. I think today Abdurrahman ibn Auf lost the plot and he's made a mistake. فَمَا تَرَكَ لِأَهْلِهِ شَيْئًا. Because he's donated everything he possibly owns, I doubt he left anything for the family. So the Prophet of Allah overheard this altercation and this exchange and dialogue. So he called Abdurrahman, he said, هَلْ تَرَكْتَ لِأَهْلِكَ شَيْئًا يَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Abdurrahman, have you left behind anything at home? قَالَ نَعَمْ تَرَكْتُ لَهُمْ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا أَنْفَقْتُ وَأَطْيَبَ. O Nabi of Allah, I left behind at home more than what I have given and more wholesome than what I have donated. So the Prophet ﷺ said, come, and how much is that? He said, مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ وَالْأَجْرِ وَالْخَيْرِ. Every time I leave behind money, today I told my wife, I am not leaving behind a tangible asset. I am leaving behind the promises of Allah and His Rasul in our house with you and my children. And that is what is going to take us from here onwards. So in relation to what you give, that is how Allah privileges you. Came the time of Tabuk. أكرم الله عبد الرحمن بن عوف بما لم يكرم به أحدا من المسلمين. Allah gave عبد الرحمن بن عوف a privilege on the plains of Tabuk, unprecedented. دخل وقت الصلاة. It is the time of salah. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غائب. And momentarily the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم excuses himself. فأما المسلمين عبد الرحمن بن عوف. It's the time of salah, the call is made. The Prophet of Allah is not present. All gaze go on Abdul Rahman. It's your chance. Lead the prayer and lead the congregation. He goes forward. ما كادت تتم الركعة الأولى حتى لحق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمسلين واقتدى بعبد الرحمن بن عوف وصلى خلفه. He leads the congregation. He stands as the imam. While leading, the first rak'at is barely completed. There is a shuffle. There is a movement. And the Prophet of Allah comes and joins the congregation and performs salah behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Now this is wealth, my brother. The young man of today might ask me, how can I achieve this? So I say to you, my brother, and I say to you, my sister, come Saturday night, when the youth are milling and clubbing and chilling, so they phone you and they say, let's go chill. We go in movies, we'll womanize, we'll party. So you resist the temptation. You decline the offer. You reject the proposal. You go to sleep at home. They go to sleep in a club. You see Allah's Nabi in your dream. You see, مَنْ رَآنِي فَقَدْ رَآنِي فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Allah blesses you with the vision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And I say this because I know of youth who experienced this. Decline to go. I'm not coming movies. No, you always, you laid back, you're not active, it's okay. My brother, what sweetness I got in my dream today with my Nabi will never make me come to the door of that club till the day I die. أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَذُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهْوِ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ فَهَلْ هُنَالِكَ أَكْرَمُ كَرَامَةً وَأَفْضَلُ فَضْلًا مِنْ أَنْ يَغْدُوَ أَحَدٌ إِمَامًا لِسَيِّدِ الْخَلْقِ وَإِمَامِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Can there possibly be a greater privilege? Can there be a greater acknowledgement? Can there be a greater credential to anyone than to say the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led or followed this man in prayer? The prophet who led the Anbiya on the night of Al-Isra and Mi'raj. And yet he follows behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. My point again I'm saying is, he got married with priority. You see, a very important and fundamental objective is that whatever the intention is, so are the results. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ. Three people perpetually are aided by Allah. And amongst the three, one is النَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ. A bachelor or spinster, a man or woman who gets married with the primary aim of preserving their modesty. So if we enter into the relation with that being the agenda, Allah will preserve it. But if that's not the intention, Allah forbid, we will get married, and married couples are equally guilty of the disloyalty and infidelity that the general youth are involved and indulging in. Allah guide and save one and all. When the Prophet ﷺ passed away, what he did with his money? If a youngster has money and he doesn't have piety, he's going to flash it, he's going to try every pill, he's going to, you know, have the most exclusive of gadgets, he's going to be moving around, doing different things. When the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, this is intelligence, he decided to make this a passionate agenda to see to the financial well-being of the honorable consorts and spouses of the Prophet ﷺ. In his individual capacity, he took it upon himself, Allah has given me money, who better than the wives of Muhammad ﷺ to enjoy my money? جَعَلَ يَنْهَذُ لِحَاجَاتِهِنَّ يَخْرُجُ مَعَهُنَّ إِذَا خَرَجْنَا وَيَحُجُّ مَعَهُنَّ إِذَا حَجَجْنَا. Whenever they would go for Hajj, he would join them. He would coordinate the activities, synchronize the movements, whatever logistical arrangement needs to be done for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, he would give this priority. And in doing so, he said, I've seen phenomenal blessings in my life. I see the amazing good coming in my life. وَلَقَدْ بَلَغَ مِنْ بِرِّ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنِ عَوْفِ بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنَّهُ بَاعَ أَرْضًا لَهُ بِأَرْبَعِينَ أَلْفِ دِينَارٍ فَقَسَمَهَا كُلَّهَا فِي بَنِي زُهْرَ وَأَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He had a prime land, a prime investment, which was, you know, every man wanted this. And it went for 40,000 dinars. Now this is now when really he had climbed the ladder. And he was now, his portfolios, his development, his money had flourished. So he sold this prime land of his, took that 40,000 dinars, and a significant portion of this he went to spend on the tribe of the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today's young man doesn't have time to spend money on his own mother, never mind his mother's tribe or anybody else. He hasn't got time to spend on his mother himself. Abdurrahman ibn Auf took that money and invested it on the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ's mother, Banu Zuhra. That is where the Prophet ﷺ's mother hailed from. And the other half of the money, he took it and he went and gave it to the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. فَلَمَّا بَعَثَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَائِشَةَ رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا بِمَا خَصَّهَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَالِ قَالَتْ مَنْ بَعَثَ هَذَا. When this money came to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and this was the general khulafa, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, on one day sent 80,000 dirhams to Aisha radiallahu anha. But these were people that used to give. Once Aisha radiallahu anha was at home, and Muhammad ibn Munkadir, a great tabi'i, came home. So he had some financial needs, so he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, can you assist me financially? Aisha radiallahu anha said, I'm depleted and I'm exhausted, I have nothing. But you're such a man and I have such trust in you that if Allah had to give me and I had owned at this time 10,000 dirhams, trust me, without a blink of an eye, I would have given it to you. So much confidence I have in you. So Aisha radiallahu anha made the remark, Muhammad ibn Munkadir left, and minutes thereafter there was a knock on the door and someone came and said, oh my mother Aisha, this is a gift from me, 10,000 dirhams. Aisha radiallahu anha said, my Allah has put my words to test. My Allah has put my words to test. Now I can also make that commitment and say, wallahi, if I had brother, you can take me $500 from me. And then when the $500 came, you know what, I forgot I owe someone money. I realize now I promised my wife a holiday. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allah has put my words to test, take this money and go. So when this money came to Aisha, she said, Man ba'ata hadha qila Abdurrahman ibn Auf. It was told to her that Abdurrahman ibn Auf sent this money. She said, the Prophet of Allah told us, La yahnu alaykunna min ba'di illa sabirun. The pious from my ummah, those who persevere, O Aisha, they will make it their passionate agenda to see to you. Congratulations to you, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. The Prophet of Allah had consoled us that there will be people from this ummah who will take care of his spouses. It looks like this dua of the Prophet of Allah has been accepted in your favor. And when you do things the right way, then Allah blesses you, my brother. It is mentioned that his business started growing and expanding beyond Arabia. Why? Because of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the amazing part of this is that when you have the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not be a victim to the economic meltdown. So your business won't have a downward trend. You'll only be moving and flourishing. And I'll support this through the hadith of Muslim Sharif, where the Prophet ﷺ says, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي فِي مَفَازَةٍ. A person is walking in a barren land, in a jungle. And then he hears the hadith of Muslim Sharif from a cloud. It comes out, إِسْقِ حَدِيقَةَ فُلَانٍ. The cloud says that shower the rain on the garden of this particular man. So he looks up and he says, did I hear this cloud speaking? And that was it. Subhanallah. The Prophet of Allah is sitting with the Sahaba. And this is it. We need that level of submission. If my Nabi has told me that interest will ruin me, it will ruin me. If my Nabi has told me charity will bring blessings, it will bring blessings. So the Prophet of Allah said, in the previous nations, a man got on the back of a cow when he started riding it, or a moose. So he started riding the cow. And the cow said, you know what? I haven't been created as a conveyance. I'm not an animal to ride on. So those around the Prophet ﷺ said, Subhanallah, baqaratun tatakallam. O Prophet of Allah, have we understood your words correctly? You meant a cow spoke? The Prophet ﷺ said, whether you accept it or not, I know my Abu Bakr and Umar have accepted it. And the best part of it is they were not present in the gathering. In their absence, he confirmed their approval. Such was their level of submission. My Abu Bakr and Umar have embraced it. So anyway, the cloud says, shower your rain on the garden of this man. So this person tags along and he comes there and he sees a man. He's watered in his garden and he has his little orchard and he has his little crops there. He says, brother, what's your name? So he says, this is my name. But by the way, why are you asking me my name? He said, Wallahi, I heard your name being announced from the clouds. And this cloud has been designated to shower rain exclusively on your garden when there's general drought and famine. So there's an economic crisis across the world, but Allah will bring barakah to your shop. That Allah will do. So he says, my brother, what's the secret? How can you get rain? How do you get this rain when others are deprived of it? He said, whenever I harvest my crops, then a portion goes to the poor. This is my practice from the time Allah gave it. And because of that, I have enjoyed perpetual rain across the seasons. I've never had dryness or shortage. So you won't have an economic meltdown, my brother. بَقِيَتْ تِجَارَتُهُ تَزْدَادُ وَتَنْمُوا. His business started growing and expanding. مَمْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الْحَيَاتُ. As long as he lived. Why? Because of the dua. So on one particular occasion, his caravans come into Medina. And how much? 700 rahila. 700 camels. تَحْمِلُ عَلَى ظُهُورِهَا الْمِيَرَ وَالطَّعَامِ وَالدَّقِيقِ وَالْآنِيَةِ. And he had his hands involved in few things. So he was dealing in food, in grain, in flour, in household utensils, in basic jewelry. Those were the issues in which he had expanded his business. More than 700 camels came into Medina. فَمَا إِنْ دَخَلَتِ الْمَدِينَةِ حَتَّى رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ بِهَا رَجَّةِ وَسُمِعَ لَهَا دَوِيٌّ وَضَجَّةِ. You can imagine, you know, when a person's containers come or they dock at the harbor and the truck comes to deliver his containers. Wow, everybody's eyes are popping out. The guy's gone up. So when these containers came in and this impressive business of his flourished, and he came into Medina, all eyes were on him. Look at this. This is impressive. This is wealth. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, what's the hustle all about? What's the movement? What's all the speaking about? Everybody's talking about the camels and the food and the grain and the container and the money and the development. So they said, no, it's just Abdurrahman ibn Auf. One of his shipments have just arrived and he's doing really well. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, tell him, I said, بارك الله له فيما أعطاه ولثواب الآخرة أعظم. Tell him I share in his joy today. And my dua is Allah give him even more than 700 camels. And tell him I guarantee his reward in Akhirah is more than what Allah gave him in this world. And that's not all, whisper into his ears. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يدخل عبد الرحمن بن عوف الجنة. I heard the Prophet of Allah saying repeatedly, عبد الرحمن بن عوف will be with me in Jannah. What I'm saying, my brother, that's the money you make. Not when your container comes in and your money comes in and people are cursing you. That's my money is buying with. It's owing me, stealing my muscle to feed others. That's defeating the essence. That is not barakah, that is not good. I always mention today, our situation has become very ironical. We provoke curses and we request du'as. Sahaba used to earn the du'a. We do the wrong, you're provoking a man to curse you and say, make a du'a for me, my brother. A du'a, if I just hold back my curse, you will be lucky. You parked as an obstacle. I waited there 15 minutes. And then you come out smiling and I'm all, you know, agitated. Oh, Sheikh, make a dua, my brother. You are not considerate. You're provoking me. You're upsetting me. And then you're requesting a dua. What an irony. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Barakallahu lahu fima a'ta wa la thawabu al-akhirati a'dam. But now listen to this. Wa qabla an tabruqa an-nuq. Before the camel could set, before the container could dock at the harbor, before the truck could arrive at the warehouse, جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ يَنْقُلُ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنَ عَوْفِ مَقَالَةَ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A person comes running to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Oh, Abdurrahman, I just need to speak to you 2 minutes. Go for it. You know, as your container arrived and everybody is talking, congratulations, nice to see, mashallah, you've earned well for yourself. I happened to pass by Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said, I must congratulate you, I must bless you, and she wishes you well, and she also said, I must tell you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that you will enter into Jannah alongside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He holds the entire move, he says, just wait a minute here, he goes running. He comes running to Aisha radiallahu anha. Tara musri'an. He says, Ya Ummah, أَسَّمِعْتِ هَذَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Is this true information that has reached my ears? I mean, if we hear good news, we won't verify it. It must be true, it's about me. If we hear bad news, we will cancel it, even if it's true. If we hear good news, no, if he said it about me, that must be correct, yeah. Because it could only be me. Oh, come on, man. There's a limit to be self-conceited. He hears glad tidings, he doesn't take it face value. He runs to Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Ummah, O my mother, أَسَمِعْتِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Have you heard these words from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly? She says, yes, I've heard it. أُشْهِدُكَ يَا أُمَّهَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْبَعِيرِ بِأَحْمَالِهَا وَأَقْتَلْ بِهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Oh my mother, if you told me that Allah will give me more in Jannah and I will walk with my Prophet, then I need to elevate my abode even higher. divert those camels to the poor. Divert that food to the needy. I don't want a camel and I don't want a grain. Everything goes to the poor. And today's Muslim is grappling to discharge zakat. It comes like this. You want to get married, you want to make money. This is how Allah gives my brother. Inconceivable. It is said after this particular incident, his charity and generosity reached an amazing level. تصدق بأربعين ألف درهم. He gave 40,000 dirhams. ثم أتبعها بأربعين ألف دينار. Then he donated 40,000 dinars. Then he provided 500 horses. Then he donated another 1,500 horses. ولما حضرت عبد الرحمن بن عوف الوفاة. And in the fatal illness, in the throes of death, أعتق خلقا كثيرا من مماليكه. He liberated his slaves. I came across a narration in Fath al-Allam, which is the Sharah of Bulugh al-Maram, in Kitab al-Itq, in the second volume, on page 232. It's mentioned there that Abdurrahman ibn Auf liberated 30,000 slaves. Abdurrahman ibn Auf liberated 30,000 slaves. Now only if the wealth of this young man, instead of being spent on unlawful, illegitimate situations, occasions, locations, vacations, and he donates and generates that money in the correct way, it will earn him reward and he will see barakah with that income of his. Then what he did? He liberated 30,000 slaves. أعتق خلقا كثيرا من مماليكه. ولما حضرته الوفاة. In the throes of death. What were the last aspirations in his life? أوصى لكل واحد بقي من أهل بدر بمئة دينار. He said all the participants of Badr that are still living, that responded to the call in the early hours, I want to acknowledge their contribution in an individual capacity. They are our heroes. Call them forward and from my personal money, I want to give every one of them 100 dinars, which were gold coins. وَأَوْصَى لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَالٍ جَزِيلٍ. And he said, this portion of my money, give it to all the remaining spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حتى أن أم المؤمنين عائشة رضوان الله عليها كثيرا ما كانت تقول سقاه الله من ماء السلسبيل. I cry when I read this. When this money came in the throes of death, the share that he allotted for Aisha radiyallahu anha, when that money came, and she asked, who sent this money? So it was told to her, O Aisha, radiyallahu anha, who else other than Abdurrahman ibn Auf? She said, it's my dua. May he sit on the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the gardens of Jannah and drink from the fountains of paradise. سَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِن مَاءِ السَّلْسَبِيلِ. That's what we need. We need the blessings of the pious. We need the rahmah of the seniors to invoke in our dealings. Not to say he deprived his family. خَلَّفَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لِوَرَثَتِهِ مَالًا لَا يَكَادُ يُحْصِيهِ الْعَدُّ. He left behind a handsome legacy for his wife and children. As I mentioned, I only spoke about his first nikah. Imagine if we go into the other three nikahs. He had four spouses. He left behind adequate finance for all his spouses. تَرَكَ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ مَا قُسِّمَ بَيْنَ وَرَثَتِهِ بِالْفُؤُوسِ حَتَّى تَأَثَّرَتْ أَيْدِ الرِّجَالِ. That he left behind chunks of gold and silver for his family, that when they chopped it into pieces, it had literally imprinted on the hands of those that were distributing his legacy. And when he passed away, a Sahabi made an amazing analogy. He said, O Abdurrahman ibn Auf, because obviously, Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, carried his body. Uthman ibn Affan led the prayer. And Ali ibn Abi Talib lowered him into the grave. Can there be a more rich legacy? So he said, بَشَّرَهُ الصَّادِقُ الْأَمِينَ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَحَمَلَ جَنَازَتَهُ خَالُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ عُثْمَانَ ابْنَ عَفَّانَ وَشَيَّعَهُ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَهُ. When Ali رضي الله عنه went into the grave and lowered him and tears trickled down his face, he looked at Abdurrahman. He said, لَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتَ صَفْوَهَا وَسَبَقْتَ زِيفَهَا يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. Abdurrahman, what a clean life. What an impressive legacy. What a great young man. You see, in the prime of this ummah, you got saved from the challenges. Allah bless you. We hope and we pray that Allah inspires us, that we look to these people for direction. These are our heroes. Hayhata hayhata an ya'ti az-zamanu bimithlihi inna az-zamana bimithlihi labakhilu. These are the people whose lives we emulate. May Allah instill, infuse within us their great lives, that we walk in their footsteps. May Allah bless our homes, bless our marriages, protect it from dissension and division. Those of our young boys and sisters that are of marriageable age, may Allah grant them suitable partners and spouses, bring happiness to their unions and bless them. I would seize the opportunity once again to put on record my hearty gratitude to Mufti Qureshi, Brother Abdul Haq Ingar, and the entire IST team for being kind enough to host me. I don't fit the profile. I'm not capable enough to address a congregation of this nature. It's the good thoughts that they have welcomed me alongside my family. May Allah bless this masjid, this community, this country, this nation. Take it from strength to strength. May Allah bless this program of ours and let it continue and continue. I will be failing miserably if I don't put on record my gratitude to my host from my very first travel, Brother Sheikh Abdurrahman Hafiji. Allah bless him, his family, his health, his wealth, his parents, and everything that he touches and he does. It's been an absolute home away from home. On these notes I end, asking Allah to inspire us and forgive me for my shortcomings if in any way I have offended you in my stay. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.